This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The British healthcare system goes under the knife.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Last night, the Republican-dominated U.S. House voted to nix healthcare reform in this country, but Democrats have vowed to end the repeal effort. Now, during the healthcare debate, some supporters used Britain's medical system as a possible U.S. model, and yet in the U.K., people aren't so happy with it either. The government there has just launched a big shakeup. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London to talk about it and why it matters to us here in the U.S. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What's the problem the healthcare system is dealing with there?
Cost, principally. The cost of healthcare, of course, is rising everywhere. We're living longer, making bigger demands on health services, new drugs and new medical technologies adding to the cost. In the case of the UK, taxpayers pick up the tab, most of the tab, and that tab, the cost of the NHS, according to one estimate, is going to rise by as much as a quarter over the next 3 or 4 years.
The healthcare system there. So how are the reforms supposed to address that, Stephen?
In a nutshell, the plan is that by 2013, family doctors will control most of the national budget. They'll decide how to spend the money according to the needs of their patients. It won't be politicians and civil servants in London telling them what to do. Here's Chris Hamm, head of the medical think tank, the King's Fund.
What this government is doing is saying, let's try to decentralise to improve quality and outcomes for patients by placing much more trust and responsibility in the hands of the local doctors and the clinical teams delivering care.
It's reckoned this reform will cut bureaucracy and eventually save up to $10 billion a year.
Hey, Stephen, any lessons for the US as our healthcare system gets overhauled here?
Well, the US is taking a different approach from the UK, but certainly this British reform does underline the universal pressure of rising costs and the pressing need to allocate healthcare efficiently and fairly.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The Chinese president continues his American visit with a trip to Chicago today. That's on the heels of news that China's economy expanded even faster than expected last year, 10.3%. That's more than three times the rate of growth here in the United States. Yet Chinese officials are concerned the economy is growing too fast. From Shanghai, here's the BBC's Chris Hogg.
Here in Shanghai, they're stocking up in the supermarkets for Chinese New Year, the biggest holiday in the calendar. One complaint you hear a lot from shoppers, food's more expensive than ever. Officials admit rising prices are a problem. The government overshot its inflation target of 3%, and that's taking the shine off the double-digit economic growth achieved. Economist Bill Adams from the Conference Board China Centre in Beijing says rising global commodity prices have helped fuel inflation, but
on top of that, you also have very rapid economic growth and very loose credit conditions in China since the end of 2008, which have all contributed to higher inflation now.
The worry is that banks here are lending too much. Property developers are using that cash to build more and more homes, and there are fears that a property price bubble's building. And if the bubble were to deflate, or worse yet, pop, the world's second largest economy could put at risk the global economic recovery. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Chris Hogg for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower at the moment. Web auctioneer eBay reported profits slightly up in the last 3 months. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ lost 1.5%. The Dow was down only 12 points to close at 11,825.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com.
Street revolts in Tunisia over high food prices brought the government down there. But how did the message spread so fast? Through social networks. Yet that technology sword can cut both ways. Yevgeny Morozov wrote the book The Net Delusion, The Dark Side of Internet Freedom. He's with us now. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
If people use websites such as Twitter and Facebook and Flickr to express themselves, well, those are channels for free speech, right? So how can people be held back if they have access to all this free speech?
Well, the governments also have access to many of the same channels. And what we see happen in places like China or Iran or Russia is that governments are beginning to watch those spaces very closely. There is definitely an element of activists becoming much more effective in planning their campaigns online. But also there is a much more darker element of forces they oppose using the same very platforms to crack down on this activists and dissidents.
I want to talk about Iran. Because after the election there were thousands of tweets coming in of where these protests were supposedly taking place. Give us an example of what was happening in Iran.
The Iranian government began collecting and analyzing all of the Twitter messages, Facebook messages, Flickr photos, and actually began asking public to identify anyone who they could recognize in the photos. I think as many as 40 people were actually identified on those photos, and some of them were arrested, some of them were interrogated.
I want to talk about the responsibility as well of these sites, Twitter and Flickr, Facebook. How much responsibility do they have? Can they do anything about this?
They definitely can. I mean, it's a tension between how much money they would be able to make from the data and information that they accumulate and how much social responsibilities they would like to carry. There are definitely efforts that, and industry efforts that these companies can join. It's just that some of them do not yet recognize that they have the social responsibility.
Yevgeny Morozov, author of The Net Delusion, The Dark Side of Internet Freedom. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, from the Marketplace Creepy Crawly desk, Sven Koppler of Germany admitted to sending hundreds of tarantulas through the mail, including the Mexican red-kneed spiders, a variety protected under international treaty. Koppler was arrested, faces 20 years in prison. He was paid $300,000 for the arachnids by U.S. federal agents posing as buyers in a sweep called Operation Spider-Man. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If I told you that the more people play games online with friends, the closer we get to fixing the global economy, would you believe me?
That ability to organize large groups of people where everybody gets to contribute their skill, their strength, is really important as we start to tackle planetary scale problems.
I'm a trustworthy guy, I promise. I'm Kai Rizdahl, playing games, solving problems, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.